The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So the way you do make it is, it's not that they're not going to have a tough time. It's like you rise to the occasion. You have to grow spiritually and emotionally. And
yeah,
at the same time,
hard.
I wanted people to have some principles that would allow them to not only build a business or start a business, but to maintain a lifestyle. And that's why I called it a lifestyle entrepreneur. So it's from employee to lifestyle entrepreneur. And I think a lot of people that I've met over the years, dedicated, hardworking, ambitious people, end up finding themselves, you know, they climb the ladder and they get to the top and they say, this is not what I want. This is not the people I was looking for. I don't have the lifestyle. I can't do what I want to do.
Right. Didn't get me where I thought it was getting me.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's the one of the main principles in the book is it's about well-being, total well-being, which is healthy body, healthy mind, healthy finances, and healthy spirit.
Right. So well, if you work hard and you're successful, but you're a mess inside, then what's the point, right?
I mean, exactly.
If you live, you'll be really unhealthy, really uncomfortable. If you die young, then what was the point?
Yeah. So I wanted to give people a formula or some principles that they could use to build a sustainable business.
Yep.
That is going to nurture them emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially. And hopefully, you know, encourage them to jump into a community and start finding their own mentors, you know, because I think that's the next step is after you have this vision and you know who you are and what you want to do. And I talk about Ikigai. I talked about that in the interview.
I saw that. Yeah, right. I saw that when I was looking you up on Giuseppe's podcast, Ikigai. So what's Ikigai?
Well, Ikigai is a Japanese word that means your reason for being. And
okay.
They have four components to this. And it's different than the trilogy that Jim Collins had was passions, gifts, business model, right?
Okay.
That's the same for Ikigai, except they add a fourth component, which is what the world needs.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, my name is Greg Rex. I'm the author of the book Stoked, Amazon bestseller. The subtitle is A Spiritual Journey from Employee to Lifestyle Entrepreneur, and I'm glad to be here today.
All right, Greg. So thanks for coming on the mic, so to speak, with the podcast with me. You were on Giuseppe's podcast, right? Franchise Freedom.
Yeah.
I think that's where I heard you. I'm like, Giuseppe, I want to meet Greg. I want to get him on the podcast. So I appreciate him connecting us. And you are, this is a national podcast, right? You are in, you said, Nevada, right?
Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. Nice place. So the snow there is nice and clean and you can snowboard. New Jersey, it's not so much.
A little icy.
So, yeah. Slushy. Very icy. Very cold. So, but a week ago it was 60 degrees, but things change very quickly out here. But I do want to talk to you about your, you know, your background and what you did before this and, you know, what kind of got you to write the book and change what you're doing. Cause I think there's a lot of people out there that, which is why I wanted to talk to you, that, you know, they are an employee and they have these ideas and they want to make this transition and they're not really sure how to do it or they're afraid to do it or whatever. So we can hear your story, but why don't we go back, like where you're from, where you grew up, you know, that type of stuff.
Okay. If you want to go back to the beginning. Okay.
Yeah, so not the log cabin, but we can go back, you know, like, where'd you grow up? What's your background? What'd you learn at school? What'd you study? You ended up an employee somehow. So.
Well, my background, I grew up in San Diego, oldest of five, big family.
Okay.
My dad was a physician assistant. He was actually one of the very first that, you know.
Yeah,
that
PAs. That's an early days of PAs. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he kind of, you know, came home with all these great stories and I was always interested in health and medicine.
Okay.
So when I went to San Diego State, I was pre-med and I was studying biology and pre-med. And I had a medical complication. I was in the Navy. I joined the Navy to help pay for my way through school.
Okay.
And to get some experience working in a hospital. So sure. While I was in the Navy, I started having these problems with my feet and my back, and they were trying all these different things. And after about 2 years of trial and error, not really figuring out what it was or how to treat it, I went to the orthopedic surgeon. He said, hey, there's only two things left that medicine can do. You've tried everything else. We can either open you up and do exploratory surgery.
Which is never good. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You open you up. Don't open me up. I know. Had this conversation. Then,
I said, what else? He said, well, we could do a, you know, 6-inch epidural injection of steroids into your spine. And maybe that can stop the pain. And I said, well, but that's just going to numb the pain.
Does that reduce the inflammation or no? Just hides the pain.
Well, that's what he said. He said, maybe if we stop the pain cycle, we can reduce the inflammation and maybe your body can heal itself.
That happened with my neck.
Okay.
And I haven't had to have surgery. Knock on wood. But I knock on something real quick. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I figured, you know, what's the worst that could happen, you know? And so I said,
you end up crippled for the rest of your life. That could probably be the worst.
Well, yeah, there's one thing worse than that, which is you have a,
death.
I actually flatlined. I had a reaction to the process and I lost my airway, my heartbeat, my blood.
Was this, they were doing the surgery. You ended up having the surgery.
Afterwards, when the surgery was done, I was supposed to go to work because I was working as a corpsman in the Navy. And when I had this reaction, I basically passed out. I hit my throat on the gurney of the bed and I was out.
Ooh.
And it was those life, you know, near-death experiences. I can actually still remember the process, even though I was unconscious.
So you had the surgery, you recovered from the surgery, you're going back to work, you're at work.
It wasn't even surgery. It was just that epidural injection.
Oh, okay.
But after that procedure, they had booked me to work, which is not a great idea.
Yeah, apparently.
I was all still, you know, half out of it. And so the worst thing that happened was that I did flatline. I was dead for about 5 minutes.
Ooh.
And when I came to, it was, first of all, I was really like, wow, that's not exactly how, if I'm a doctor and I imagine I just did that, almost killed somebody, I would have been pretty freaked out.
You think?
And then the other thing is I'm interviewing all these doctors that I work with. And at San Diego State, I was the chairman of the pre-med society. So docs would come and speak to us and I would interview them and ask them a bunch of questions. And one of my questions was always, hey, I'm young, I'm excited, I'm just getting ready to go to medicine. What recommendations would you have for me? And almost all of them said, I wouldn't go into medicine if I were you.
Really?
Yeah. And these are my heroes, the people I'm trying to look up to and role models. And they're telling me, don't do it. And the reasons
were to people about law. I do.
The reasons were kind of about this, usually the same. It's like, I can't practice medicine the way I want to. I'm part of this big machine. You know, the insurance companies dictate everything. I'm doing all this paperwork. I'm not really spending time with patients. And
right.
They kind of found themselves in a system that they weren't really loving. So I actually, that was for me a turning point. And I said, I'm not going to go into medicine. I can't do this. And I started really looking, the more I learned about the body, the more I was just blown away by its own ability to heal, its natural healing ability, our immune system, right?
Yeah.
And so I decided not to go into medicine. I ended up going to work with Tony Robbins. And that took me up a whole new path towards goal setting and coaching and wellness and peak performance and all that stuff.
You didn't know any of that stuff then? You just went to work for him? And
I had the only little taste of personal development that I had before that.
Yeah.
Was I'd listened to some Jim Rohn tapes. You ever heard Jim Rohn?
Yeah, sure. Is he good to great, or is he?
No, that's Jim Collins.
Oh, Jim Collins. Okay. Yeah. No, I know Jim Rohn. He's the, I forget. What's the books that he's written?
He was always he was a philosopher and a businessman, but he taught these success principles. He was Tony Robbins' original mentor.
Got it.
So, but I did read Tony's book and I was blown away. And then I said, okay, I want to work for this guy. And I just went after it. I got hired.
Okay.
And I sold all my stuff and I went on the road working.
Oh,
for
really?
Tony. Yeah. So we had this basically a SWAT team of like 6 to 8, mostly guys, usually 1 or 2 women. And we would go to a city. We'd go to New York, down to New York City, and we'd be there for 8 weeks and we'd sell his seminar. Tony would fly in, we'd do the seminar, and then we'd pack and go to another city. We'd go for 6 to 8 weeks, go to Vancouver, go to Chicago, go to San Francisco. We're all over the, North America. It was a great experience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I had a great time. I learned some great skills. That kind of tickled me. I was an employee. I was working for him.
Right.
But I got exposure to a lot of entrepreneurs and it started giving me the curiosity about being an entrepreneur. Then I got recruited after working with Tony Robbins. I got recruited to work as a partner, to become a partner in an Anthony Robbins franchise where we were running his video events and his live events. And I did that for a couple of years. And that was like my real first, okay, now I'm sales marketing. I'm the director of sales and marketing. I'm a partner. I'm looking at the P&Ls. I'm starting to, run a real business.
Okay.
So that was really my first kind of.
So what did you guys do? You taught Tony Robbins principles and did the motivational seminars here, like locally? Because he couldn't go to everything, right? He can't go to every event that he has.
Exactly. So we were like, we did video-based programs that were had some video from Tony, and then we would facilitate it. So we did that for private organizations. And then we hosted live events, just like I was doing working for him. I would go, had a team of people. We'd go fill the room. We'd sell an event. Tony'd fly in. He'd do the presentation.
Oh, he would fly in. Okay.
We did both. We did both.
Got it.
But that was a big week. It was one of those stories where I woke up one day and the bank account was empty and my CFO was embezzling from the company.
We didn't know nice. The experience that every entrepreneur should have very early on in their career, embezzlement by a partner.
Yeah. And it tore my heart out because I put like 2.5 years into building this company. We were the 9th fastest growing company in Canada. We, went from 600,000 to 6.5 million. And, it was mostly because of the sales team that I developed and we had a great product,
Right.
But you got to sell it, right?
Of course.
So I felt like I did my job. Like I brought in the revenue.
And you said that was up in Canada?
This was up in Canada, Ottawa.
In Ottawa? Okay.
Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was really kind of heartbreaking. It was like a divorce. You put all this energy into this relationship and then you find this person's cheating on you and they're basically doing overnight commodities trading and got on a downward.
With your money?
With the company money.
So basically day trading, thinking he's going to make money and put it back.
Right.
No, it's right. A disease, unfortunately.
So that kind of got knocked me down and I went back with my tail between my legs, kind of lost my savings. I'd, put a lot of money into the company. I went back to San Diego, kind of licked my wounds, figure out what was next. And then I stumbled into shamanism. And I'd always been spiritual, but I was kind of brought up more in a Catholic, traditional Catholic family. And, but this natural way, these shamanic ways really resonated with me, the indigenous people, the North Americans, any indigenous people. I just love how simple the way they look at life is. Everything is sacred. And so I started like studying shamanism and spirituality and I went.
Did you meet somebody in San Diego who was a shaman?
Yeah. I met a couple people that were shaman.
Okay.
And I started working with them and doing my own work, my own healing work. And part of it, for me was taking a bigger picture, because when I was with Tony, I was very focused on my goal.
Right, of course.
And I wasn't really tapping into other parts of me, new parts of me. It's kind of like repeating the same stuff over and over again.
Well, that was the that's the deal, right? It's new for the new people coming in, but you're doing the same thing over and over again, getting a result, building your sales.
Yeah. And so I really found that I wanted to take a holistic approach. And this shaman was also a life coach. So he really did take this holistic approach at coaching. It was business, personal, relationship, health, financial, spiritual, everything, worked in the whole thing.
Now, shamans come from what, the Native American culture?
Mostly, yeah.
Mostly. Or
any indigenous culture
to
has
wherever a, you are.
Has okay. a shaman, has a medicine man, medicine woman, Africa,
right.
Asia, doesn't
right.
matter. They
right.
all have them.
Okay. Makes
They're
sense.
The spiritual medicine people, you know. But they have such rich wisdom, you know, really deep wisdom. And I also saw how it matched with the personal development stuff that I was learning from Tony and all the people in that world. It was like these principles align very well. So it started like really looking at my life in a more critical way, saying, okay, what do I want to create? You know, who do I want to be? And I started a couple more companies, and some of them did well and some of them crashed. Overall, I think I started about 11.
So you tried different stuff? Okay.
Yeah, you know, as an entrepreneur, you try things and you get them going, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
That's the learning process, right?
But the last business that I started, this one's built to last. This one.
Okay, good. Now you got it right.
Yeah, you mentioned Jim Collins, like he wrote the book Good to Great.
Yeah.
And he also wrote the book Built to Last. And the company that I'm with now is designed and built with those principles in them.
Got it.
And I even talk about Jim Collins in my book. It's I talk about his principle called the hedgehog principle. Have you ever heard that?
I remember it. Yeah. He's also writes about having you have the bus, right? And people are in the wrong seats, right? Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. He's got some great metaphors, but that's one, you know, get the right people in the right seats on the bus.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other one he talked about the hedgehog principles. A hedgehog is somebody who, or a company that knows what they're passionate about. They know what they're good at, and they create a business model that lets them focus on what they're good at and what they're passionate about. And they don't get distracted. A fox, on the other hand, is like always sniffing around, looking for the quick fix, looking
right.
for the shortcut, looking to snag something.
Right.
Whereas a hedgehog, he's good at one thing. Hedgehog is good at one thing, curling up into a little ball.
Right.
All those spikes come out and he's impenetrable.
Right.
Like you'd be the biggest bear in the forest. You can't
right.
get.
It's like the one thing. What's his name? Gary Keller wrote that book.
Yeah.
I interviewed his
really
guy too.
Focus, you know, and I love that idea of focus, because I find one thing that I'm addicted to is flow, getting into flow. And you can get into flow doing anything, washing dishes, riding a bike, you know, singing. You could get into flow. But what's unique about flow is you got this like amazing focus, but you also have this open awareness at the same time. But you're super present and super focused. And so I like to focus on things, and I like to simplify things so I can focus, because I find that when there's too many things,
right,
it's hard for me to focus.
Yeah, and it seems like it's very spiritual too. Have you always been spiritual all your life, or?
I think it more popped up in those mid years, like in my mid 20s, is when it kind of really.
Yeah, it's coming of age, right? That's the age where we start realizing, we go from being a kid to an adult, and we realize things.
And I'd had some near death experiences when I was younger. I'd been like in a coma for a week, and I fell out of a car when it was moving. And so I'd had a couple near-death experiences, but the one that happened when I was 25, when I was in college.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of me like saying, okay, something's greater going on here. I need to.
Yeah. I think one would be enough for me. If you get multiple ones and you're like, well, they keep trying to tag me and I keep surviving, there's gotta be something going on here. Now, when you were studying with these shamans, I mean, you're a white guy from San Diego, family of five, right? Probably pretty big family. He's just willing to, okay, sure, come on in. I mean, is that, it's an open, like, come on and study with me, no problem?
Yeah, you know, and many shamans that I've met are very open and willing to share. They may not always sit down and dedicate a lot of time with you unless you hire them or you work with them or you dedicate to them as an apprentice.
Right.
Shaman kind of work, which is something I write about in my book too, the apprenticeship model. You know, it's like, you know, you have, you got Yoda,
right?
He's the grand master, right?
Right.
And who is his apprentice? Obi-Wan.
Right.
Right. And then Obi-Wan had his new apprentice, Luke.
Right.
And so the apprentice relationship is something I think is really special, really sacred. It's what I write about. It's all throughout my book. And I found, actually, this is something, is I found that I was good at connecting with people and finding ways to add value so that they wanted to mentor me.
Okay.
So they wanted to mentor me. Starting
that
with
makes
Tony.
Sense, right? Because it's everything's kind of a give back in a certain way. I mean, people, a lot of people write altruist, they'll do it for, but they want to know that it's valuable to them too. You know?
No. Now that I've become a mentor, one of the things I get a ton of pleasure out of seeing some that I'm mentoring succeed and break through and
sure.
get the results they want.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more frustrating than pouring your heart into somebody and giving them advice and counsel and mentorship.
Correct.
And then watching them just stay stuck and
or
do
don't
the same
listen
thing.
Or right, whatever.
They don't listen.
Yeah, because then they just feel like you're, now you feel it taken advantage of. You don't feel like it's not, you know, you always do it out of, what's the word? Like when you're a parent, it's unconditional love, whatever. But when you're doing it, somebody to help them, you want to see them succeed. When they don't do the things that they need to do, it's very frustrating. And I find that, like you had said, it's not that they can't do them, most people. Most people, it's just that they're unwilling to do it. There's some mental block. They're uncomfortable, whatever it is. Not that they can't physically do it.
No.
And they don't. So it's, yeah.
Yep.
Interesting, your whole journey.
Yeah, okay. Mentorship has been a big part of it. I look back and I say that those mentors that I've had, and I still have some amazing mentors, some of the smartest people on the planet. And yeah. I write about a few of them. And in my book, I write about Marshall Thurber, who's a brilliant man.
Okay.
I write about Nassim Haramein, who's a scientist. John Assaraf, who's a three-time New York Times bestselling author. He was one of my, he was the senior vice president of one of the companies that I worked with when I was in the corporate race. So I've really, I make a solid effort to create those kind of relationships and maintain those relationships and add value.
Right. Well, I think the most successful people in the world you'll find, right? I think you'd agree. They all had mentors and they're mentoring people. And that's part of the way to be successful. I talk a lot about if you're a small business owner, get an advisory board, get some mentors, get some people that you trust and care and can share with and share them and help them. It's got to be a two-way street because they're giving up a lot of their time.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a huge element of success and fulfillment in business or maybe in life, you know?
And it does take for the apprentice, it takes a little bit of humility, right? It takes you the willingness to say, okay, I don't know. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to heed this advice. And I'm going to do, and then you get into a position where you really respect your mentor and they start respecting you. And then you want to do it not only because you want to do it, but you also want to do it because you know that they've poured into you. So
right. It's
actually a little extra accountability when you got to
make them proud. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all great stuff. So
you have some mentors right now for you?
Yeah. I mean, I have some people that I, it's funny when you get to be our age, I was 54 on Wednesday. So,
birthday.
You know, it's a funny dynamic, right? Because you feel like you can't go. A lot of people feel like, you know, you're an adult now. What do you need? You can't go to somebody and tell them that you don't understand this and that. You have to help people, but it's both sides. So yeah, there's people, I mean, I have people in their 70s and 80s that are mentors of mine. There's people that are younger than me, they're mentors of mine. And then there's people that I mentor and they all kind of bring something different. People that I go to for a different type of discussion, like help with business, help with finances,
yep.
thoughts about marketing and networking and growing my centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably half a dozen of them, maybe a dozen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have a lot too.
And sometimes it's maybe not as much a mentorship relationship early on. Sometimes it's just, I'm going to their seminars. I'm reading their books.
Right. Friendship. Sure.
Learning that. I'm learning about their work. I'm, you know, but over time, my goal is if this is somebody who's significant, my goal is always over time is to create a mentorship, friendship, that really deep relationship with people.
Right. Well, it doesn't really work if you said you went up to Tony at an event and say, Tony, I want to mentor with you. And he doesn't know who you are. You'd be like, yeah, you and 14 million other people.
Sign up for my millionaires club.
Right. There you go.
Got a million dollars? No problem.
Right. Yeah. But you know, the people that I've mentor and mentor me, and some, in some cases it's the same person, have been through trials and tribulations, and so have I. And, you know, we've shared things and helped, and whether it's family relationships, marriage, business, coronavirus, loss of business, you know, dealing with all that kind of stuff. I do a lot of legal work for them. Usually don't charge them. They help me when I need it, you know, because they're my friends and I just want to see them succeed. And I think they want to see me succeed too. So it's a symbiotic relationship. But I guess that's a lot about what it's all about, right? Being symbiotic with the people that you're involved with.
It's a great word, symbiotic. I think of it as an ecosystem. I try to think of everything, business, relationships, you know, where I live, like try to see that it's, that there is symbiotic, that it's synergistic, that it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Right. Not a parasitic relationship. Right.
Right. Well, it's all connected, right? It's either connected in a bad way, like you said, parasitically, or it's a positive relationship, but it's all, I mean, for people to say that things aren't connected is just missing the hull.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not sticking their head out of the plane looking down. It's all connected. So
that's one of the most first principles of shamanism is like everything is energy. Everything is connected.
I believe
By
that.
By the way, if your listeners want to hear some of these mentors, I've interviewed most of them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of shaman, business people, best-selling authors. If they go to Greg Rex Stoked, that's my Facebook, my private Facebook page for my Stoked business.
Okay.
Greg Rex Stoked, one word.
Okay.
They can see those recordings. Those are on Facebook Live.
Okay. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes too. So if people want to zip over there.
That's great interviews.
Yeah.
Great
interviews. Cool.
And a lot of it's about mentorship and their history and then, you know, how they found their gifts and talents.
Yeah. It's cool that you were able to capture that, you know, and like it's permanent now.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. As opposed to, I mean, you can still tell the story, right? You have this wonderful experience. You talk to this person, but to be able to capture it on, I have some podcasts like that with some of my mentors. Actually, one of my biggest mentors, Jack Killian, who's I've known for 20 years. He's probably in his late 70s now. And he still does a lot of entrepreneurship stuff, networking. My first two episodes on the podcast were him. We talked about his whole life story of things I never even knew. And it was just, it became two episodes because we talked for like 2.5 hours. We just kept talking. And it's nice that I have that captured.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could share.
Especially when they're in their older years, you know, and you want to, you know, it's like you said, some of my mentors are in their late 70s.
Yeah, sure. So, okay. So take me along the journey now. So you started different businesses, you've been mentored, you're at a place now where this one's, when did you write the book?
2 years ago.
Okay. So what was the, what caused you to do that?
For me, the book was about leaving something behind and actually trying to, my one of my mentors, John Asaroff, he asked me, Greg, who's your audience? Who are you writing this book for?
Okay.
And I basically said, I'm writing it for someone like me, like 25 years ago, when I was in my mid 20s, and I had all this piss and vinegar and enthusiasm and excitement and passion. If I had had some mentors that could teach me, you know, because I had to go out and find these mentors, and I did over time, but I wanted to like condense into a parable. What the book is a parable, so it's a fictional fun read.
Yeah, those are good reads. I like books like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad, or right. You know, Celestine
Prophecy. Go Giver.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's out.
That
with lots of lessons built in, right? So it's a fun read. It's a story with lots of lessons built in. So I really just wanted to give that back and also like capture the wisdom of these mentors, you know? And I would say, you know, 80% of the teachings in the book are from my mentors. You know, there's only 20% is like from me. So it's, and I actually reference the people, I reference the mentors in the book, and I refer people to their books and to their events and stuff like that. So I really want people to start a journey.
Yeah.
My hope is that people realize, and I think anyone who started a business realized that there's a spiritual challenge. There's a spiritual component. There's going to be challenges that will, either you grow or you don't make it. And, you know, most people know that 80% of entrepreneurs don't make it past the second year.
Right.
So the way you do make it is, it's not that they're not going to have a tough time. It's like you rise to the occasion. You have to grow spiritually and emotionally. And
yeah, at the same time, hard.
I wanted people to have some principles that would allow them to not only build a business or start a business, but to maintain a lifestyle. And that's why I called it a lifestyle entrepreneur. So it's from employee to lifestyle entrepreneur. And I think a lot of people that I've met over the years, dedicated, hardworking, ambitious people, end up finding themselves, you know, they climb the ladder and they get to the top and they say, this is not what I want. This is not the people I was looking for. I don't have the lifestyle. I can't do what I want to do.
Right. It didn't get me where I thought it was getting me.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's the one of the main principles in the book is it's about well-being, total well-being, which is healthy body, healthy mind, healthy finances, and healthy spirit.
Right. So well, if you work hard and you're successful, but you're a mess inside, then what's the point, right?
I mean, exactly. Exactly.
If you live, you'll be really unhealthy, really uncomfortable. If you die young, then what was the point?
Yeah. So I wanted to give people a formula or some principles that they could use to build a sustainable business.
Yep.
That is going to nurture them emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially. And hopefully, you know, encourage them to jump into a community and start finding their own mentors, you know, because I think that's the next step is after you have this vision and you know who you are and what you want to do. And I talk about Ikigai. I talked about that in the interview.
I saw that. Yeah, right. I saw that when I was looking you up on Giuseppe's podcast, Ikigai. So what's Ikigai?
Well, Ikigai is a Japanese word that means your reason for being. And okay. They have four components to this. And it's different than the trilogy that Jim Collins had was passions, gifts, business model, right? Okay. That's the same for Ikigai, except they add a fourth component, which is what the world needs.
Okay. More holistic.
Yeah. Approach. It's not just like building something because you're good at it and it matters to you, but like, what's your impact?
What's the reason for it, right? Yeah.
What's the impact on society? Is it, what does the world need? Are you aligned with the ecosystem?
Right.
Back to that concept of is it the ecosystem? Because there's some businesses you could be very successful, like, you know, coal or, you know, petroleum.
Yeah, but it's not helping anybody.
But it's like, it's helping right. people
Steel,
get around.
Oil.
Yeah. It's parasitic.
Yeah.
Oil. It's unsustainable.
So, yeah. Because right? of stuff it did. Yeah.
So I really help people look at that picture and then move into a journey to build and find or create that business. And that's what I've built with my business. We built this last business that I have now. It's called Optavia.
Yeah.
Second fastest growing company in America. Forbes, okay. Forbes magazine just gave us that honor a couple months ago. We've been on that list many times. We're also on the Fortune magazine, most trusted companies in America 2 years in a row.
Okay.
Really well-run, well-built company that's growing like crazy. And it's been around for 18 years and we're going on 19.
Okay. And still so growing like crazy.
Still growing. Yeah. We're just getting ready to go international. And so okay. things are going well. So part of what I also wanted to let people know is there's different kinds of entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many, as you know, as a right. lawyer, you probably mm-hmm. work with, you name it, unlimited oh, different
yep,
types
of unlimited.
But the one that I like personally, because I don't like getting stuck into the work that's not fun for me.
Right.
Yeah, what's great about
principle.
It's like try to stay in my sweet spot in my genius. Is Optavia, the company that I'm with, is they have this huge, it's a publicly traded company. So we have this huge infrastructure. But at the same time, I'm an independent entrepreneur that I have my own like license or, you know, I'm authorized representative, if you will. So I can build my business as big as any way I want, but I have the structure, I have the infrastructure, I have all the, you know, the shipping and all the accounting and all that stuff is just taken care of by the mothership.
Okay.
So I love that style of, it's kind of like an entrepreneur in a way, except you're not an employee, you're not working for somebody, you're independent, but you have the backing of a structured, almost like a franchise. Well, you guys are all over franchise.
Is it a network of people? So you can have people underneath you, you can hire them, bring them into the system.
Yep. Network of coaches and network of clients.
Okay. Is that what it is? It's coaching services?
Yeah. Coaching services, well-being coaching services. So we help people with that healthy body, healthy mind, healthy finances.
Got it.
And I also bring in that spiritual component. I invite that for people who want it. I think that even people who are not super religious will find spiritual connection in other things like nature.
Yeah. I don't think spirituality necessarily goes hand in hand with religion. I think there's plenty of people that are not religious that can be spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I try to keep it open, you know, so it's inclusive.
Right.
And, yeah, it's really fun. It's really good to see people transform their healthy body. You know, I've helped people lose, you know, 100 pounds plus, get off of all kinds of medicines, get their life back, you know, get their mobility back, help them get, you know, their relationships dialed in.
Yeah.
You know, transform their finances, learn how to get discipline around savings and investing and things like that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question. Your comment about the book, right? And being a message to like a younger self. I think that's like the key, right? You get to the end or you get late, not to the end, but you know, you're in the 50s and 60s now, right? And then you're like, boy, if I knew then what I know now, I would be so much more, even though you are successful, right? I would be so much more successful, or I would have a different kind of lifestyle, or I wouldn't have failed six times. I would have only failed half of those times or whatever. But I think the irony of life is that you don't get that. Like there's a lot of people that are in their 20s, let's say, which is kind of the right. That's what you're thinking in your head. When I was in my 20s, this is to my 20s me. I don't know if it mentally we were capable of absorbing that message from the future. I think we were kind of, like you said, full of piss and vinegar. Like if your future self sent you back a message and you were 25, you're like, oh, come on. You don't know what you're talking about. You're old now. This is not how it's going to be. And I'm going to go down this path. And that's why, you know, 80% of us fail. And that's why out of the 20%, another 80% of them struggle probably, because life is about a learning journey. You know what I mean? Like you went through a lot of things in your life, near-death experiences and things that kind of brought you and made you into the person that you are to deliver that message. The 25-year-old you wasn't at that place. I mean, it's the irony of life, right? Because we're, and I'm sure with writing the book and sharing the ideas, you can push that to a certain extent, right? You can help a 25-year-old succeed when they're 35 instead of 45 or 50, you know, things like that. But I think it's still, there is some naturality to it, right? The spiritual journey of it being a journey, not something where you can sit down with a shaman and you walk out with all the secrets of life and like, it's all solved. Like that's not the deal. Right? No. It's not the deal. It's not what the contract says. Contract says you're a human being like everyone else. You got to go through this. Along the way, you will meet different people. What you make of it is what you make of it. You made a lot of it after certain experiences. And people don't. Their whole life, they don't. They're just wandering around. Some people are, as you know, right? Some people are very spiritual. They're hungry for what they can learn. They're always looking to, oh, I met Greg. What can I learn from Greg? Greg's had this great experience. What can I learn from him? And other people are just like, I mean, you know, these people, they're just like, they're the people you can't help. Like you said,
yeah,
they're clueless. But I think it's like, I don't know what my point is, except that it's like an irony of life is that, you know, you don't get like, you want to say, if I knew then what I knew now, but you don't, that's not the way it works. No. You don't get that right.
you got to pay your dues. You got to make those mistakes. You learn.
But you get lucky. Some people get lucky along the way. You were lucky enough to experience things, to meet maybe one shaman. I don't know how you first met the first one. You could share that story. You had an intervention. You were an outlier, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets that intervention and that opportunity. It's good that you're making a lot of it.
Yeah. The journey to meeting that shaman was, as I started looking, I'd been presenting and training and teaching. And, you know, Robbins is one of the best in the world. So I had a great mentor of being able to communicate and broadcast and move a room, right?
You're right.
I was good at that. But I also noticed that, you know, I'd come back to that same city. We'd go to LA. We'd come back 2 years later, come to LA, and like 3/4 of the room were the people that were at the first event. They're repeat. They're coming back.
Right.
And I was like, well, and I talked to them and said, how are you doing? What happened since last event? Well, I got a little bump, you know, for the next 3 months I was on a roll. I got a bump and I hit and all of a sudden I slipped back.
Yeah. But that's natural. It's something you got to fight, right? It's hard.
It is. And I think one of the ways to fight that is to not have it be an event, but have it become a ritual, like have it become a habit.
Right.
Success. Like the principle.
That's why dieting doesn't work, right?
Exactly.
You got to change the way you eat for the rest of your life. If you have chronic weight problems, you can't diet and lose 100 pounds. You're going to gain it back.
It's about habits. And see, one of the things I thought that was missing was having coaching in between the events. So you have this event,
right?
Get these breakthroughs, you get all
right, but no guide, nobody to guide you to help you, right?
Yeah, who's going to get you to implement what you'd learned?
So you guys didn't have a program that people could plug into.
We didn't.
No.
And so I started looking into coaching, and that's when I found this guy. He was a coach. He was a life coach. He branded himself, but he also said, my style of coaching is I really bring in spirituality, and I use shamanistic principles.
And you had never been exposed to that before?
Not really. I mean, I think I'd done maybe one sweat lodge. That's about it.
Okay. You know? Yeah. That's kind of what you think about when you think of, right?
Yeah. I did one sweat lodge with some Native Americans and did some drumming and had a great experience.
Ayahuasca. And what is that stuff?
Ayahuasca.
Right. That's kind of what you think about it, this spiritual out of body experience.
Well, there is definitely shaman that specialize in plant medicine, and ayahuasca is a plant medicine. There's different kinds. That's the deep end of, that's like when you're going in and you have to, that's also part of that initiate. You have to go through a process of being initiated. Most of the ayahuasca is done from not Native Americans, but actually in Peru and in Amazon, the Amazonian, that's where
Latin America down in that areas.
Yeah. South America.
That's where it comes from, that part of the world, right?
Yeah. And these are old traditions that go back thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, some plant medicine traditions are based on cactus. Like that would be more Native American. They would use peyote.
Makes sense.
Some indigenous people use mushrooms and some people use frog. There's all kinds of different, typically hallucinogenic medicines that open you up and they take you to a different dimension.
Right. Spiritually.
But what I was talking about with him was he was a holistic coach that used shamanic principles, and he used these, the whole looking at every aspect of my life. Okay, what's your goals around your relationships? Okay, what's your goals for your business? What's your goals for here? And I was kind of like at a reset point in my life. I just, left that business up in Canada, back to zero. I got all this enthusiasm and talent. What am I going to do with my life? And that having that experience of being coached had a big impact on me. And it's stuck with me all these years.
Sure. Absolutely. But the Canada franchise, that was a Tony Robbins franchise, right? But your partner Stahl used the money poorly. Yeah. He didn't steal it. You knew where it went, but.
Well, it's gone. Yeah.
Gone. Right.
Yeah. It was gone. And so I had to get out of there because I just didn't want to, I was worried that this might be a legal issue that I might end up getting in trouble.
Could be. Because of
all the people that we owed money to that he wasn't paying. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I'm
fraudulent. Right. Who knows? Now, how'd you end up in Canada? You were from San Diego, you said.
I was recruited. I was, because I was one of Tony's top performers, I got to go onto his island in Fiji.
Oh, nice. Is that a cool place?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Super.
Is it really it's his whole island? It's just him?
Well, he has one little island. I don't think they use it, but on one of the
one of the main islands.
Resort. It's a pretty large resort on one of the islands, and then he has those little baby islands off the coast that I don't think anyone uses. It's just like part of the property.
His house is on the big property.
His house is on the big property, and it's, you know, it's really a resort. So there's lots of houses, and I met one of the guys I met there was one of the top franchisees, and so he had offered me, kind of recruited me. He said, "Hey, Greg, would you like to be my partner? I need somebody like you to drive the sales. You know, we're doing really well. We're one of the top franchisees, but I know we can do better. And I'm looking at your track record. Would you come on as a partner?" And so I came on as a 25.
He was in Ottawa.
Yeah.
He's not the one who took the money, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that is devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, you just lose faith in people, and sometimes it breaks your spirit. It really does. And
then
resilient person, obviously.
But then you learn like what to look for, right?
Yep.
You learn what kind of, and I saw a pattern, and it happened in two other businesses that I climbed to the top, and I saw the CEO or the CFO, or, you know, usually one of those C-suite positions. And what I noticed is people that are, that have their egos just out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, he had a huge ego, and he was very, cynical, and but you know, now I can smell that person a mile away.
Well, like, experience does that to you, right?
Yeah. I see any signs of that kind of personality, and I'm not playing. I'm not jumping in the pond with that guy.
Right.
Or woman.
Right.
But it's a style. It's a way of thinking. So it was a valuable experience in hindsight. You know, I paid a big price for it, but,
Everything's like growing experience. You don't want to have to pay for it, but
you feel your way to success, right?
It's like you said, right? If you write a book, you send a message to your younger self, even if you told your younger self, "Hey, be on the lookout for this type of person to protect yourself," whatever. You haven't had the experience. You don't have the skills. You can't really identify that person because you will, "Oh no, that's not him. It's that guy." You know, it's not until you have that experience. You can't replace that.
No.
You know, because you can inherently see it, things that other people can't see because they don't have the experience. I mean, I do that all the time as a lawyer, right? I've done hundreds of deals. I look at things all the time. They're like, "How'd you know that?" Because I had a client got burned by somebody when they came to me afterward. And yeah, exactly.
Pattern recognition. You start seeing a pattern after a while, and then you say, "Okay, I know where this is going to go."
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, why is this?
And that's experience. But the other thing, though, you're right about, you can't shorten the learning curve. You can lessen the failure rate.
Yes.
You're still going to need to make mistakes. You're still going to have to fail. You're still going to have to get that database, that experiential database, through pattern recognition. But if you have principles, and that's why the book is just full of principles, because principles are timeless, you know, whereas a strategy is like, it's okay, it's working right now, but it might not work next month or next year. Principles are timeless. And so in the book, I reference Buckminster Fuller, Marshall Thurber, who Marshall was an apprentice of Bucky's for 10 years before Bucky passed away.
Okay.
And so I've been apprenticing with Marshall for 15 years, and he taught me like everything Bucky taught him. So it's like this, you know, Yoda, Obi-Wan, Greg, and so, and these principles that they're teaching me, they become filters. I become like a filter through which I evaluate my experiences, and they help me identify sustainable, successful laws of nature. He calls them universal principles.
Okay.
And versus like a strategy or a technique or something that's more superficial or not sustainable. So I think it's a real good idea to, I would encourage people to get a habit of collecting principles and identifying a handful of principles that you want to organize your life around, that you can use in business, in life, in relationships, and then use those principles to guide you.
Can I ask you the question, since we're recording this session?
Sure.
What principles do you live by?
One of my top principles is win for all. When I'm looking to do anything, whether it's a relationship, a business deal, or whatever, I'm looking for it to be a win for all.
That's a good approach. It should be it should be good for both people or all the people involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good one. Another one is, this is kind of like that principle you were talking about earlier, is realizing there is no right or wrong. Everything just is.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a principle of non-duality. You know, you can't have light without dark. You can't have up without down. So just realize that there's no really right or wrong. Everything's perfect.
Yeah. There's a balance.
Everything's perfect. You just, right. You know, what's the medicine?
Right.
Because like something that could heal you in the wrong dosage could kill you.
Good right? point.
So medicine and shadow, that's another shamanic principle, is there's the medicine and shadow and everything. And so a shaman is somebody who can take whatever life gives them, not get attached to it, like fighting it, defending it, right or wrong, but just like turning around and see what's the other side of their perspective and say, okay, where's the medicine here? How is this here to serve me?
Okay. That there's a purpose in everything. Why is it here? What does it do for me? How does it help other people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you really live by holistic principles.
Yeah.
Right.
I try.
I think the world would be a better place, even from an environmental standpoint, if we made decisions like everything mattered. If companies made decisions like the people that run the companies mattered. And if we made decisions with resources like they matter. You don't get rid of capital resources because they're not replaceable, you know, that type of stuff. But unfortunately, yeah, governments arguing people, idiots.
Yeah. You know, one of Bucky's quotes, it's in my book. It's one of the chapter at the beginning of every chapter, I put up a Bucky quote. And one of his Bucky quotes is, pollution is nothing less than our inability to repurpose resources.
Makes sense.
So if you have a good system, a holistic, healthy system, is the waste is recycled, right? Instead of just piling up and building up toxicity, right?
Right.
So it's like, that's kind of like that win for all. It's not just a win for you and your client. It's also a win for society. It's a win for community. It's a win for their family. So it's taking that holistic view is super important.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a Netflix series with Zac Efron. I don't know if you saw it. And he goes on this journey with a friend of his who's very, you know, he's vegan and he's into sustainability. And they do this journey around the world. They look at water. They look at energy. They end up in this village in Costa Rica, where it's basically self-contained. The guy was, I don't know, an attorney or something in the States. And he's like, I'm cashing it all in. And he has this village now where everybody grows everything. And even their, what's the word? Even their waste, you know, fecal matter, things like that are repurposed for fuel. And the whole thing is a symbiotic. I mean, it's a paradise too, because you don't have like snow down there or whatever, but it was a very interesting series. I think it's on Netflix and it's a lot about that.
That sounds like something right up my alley.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's like four or five, six episodes. The sad part about it is at the end, his friend, who was really the one who brought him on the journey, had to go back to California where he was from, and the wildfires had burned his entire house down. I mean, just gone. There's nothing there. He had to start over again. But what taketh and they cometh, right?
That reminds me of another principle. This is a principle called post-traumatic growth syndrome.
Okay.
And the heuristic or the fundamental, like the one liner, is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That makes sense. You hear that a lot. I agree with that.
And but it's a mindset. So there's a great book. If you haven't read it, it's called Anti-Fragile.
Okay.
And the concept of the book is if you're going along in life and something hits you and knocks you down, if you're fragile, you break. And you don't recover.
Right.
You get stuck. That's called post.
There's people you know like that, right? I mean,
everyone has had that. Everyone has an unexpected traumatic event. You're going along, life is good. You get your butt kicked, and then you never heal from that event.
Shatter in a million pieces, right?
That's called fragile. That's called post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Okay.
Right? There's another pattern where you're going along, something knocks you down, but then you bounce back up to where you were, and that's called resilient.
Sure.
But there's something more common than post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's post-traumatic growth syndrome. And that's when you're going along, you get knocked down, but you bounce back better and you maintain a new level of, because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Instead of dropping something and it breaks, sure, you drop it and it gets stronger.
Right.
So these episodes for the guy who just lost his house, if he pulls back, he goes into depression.
Right.
He doesn't recover.
Right.
If he bounces back, well, he's resilient. That's pretty good. That's better than fragile. But some people use those experiences, like getting embezzled or my near-death experience.
Right, to drive them to a new level.
And it drives you to a new level, and that becomes your new norm, and you never go back. Yeah. So there is this, and it takes a mindset of embracing adversity, embracing. And a great book for that besides Anti-Fragile is The Obstacle is the Way. The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday.
Okay.
And that's a principle I really try to, and especially this year, man, with this whole craziness.
That's the word of 2020 is resilience. And I know people that bounced very high, just like you said, they said, you know what? What we're going to do better. And then there's people that just fell apart. You're right.
Yeah. And I'm doing a workshop this weekend called Beyond Resilience, which is anti-fragile, because what is the next, what's beyond resilience is growing from adversity.
Right.
Not just bouncing back and recovering. Recovering is good.
Yeah, it's a start.
It's better than fragile.
Yeah.
But, you can actually get better through these things if you know. And these other principles will all help you with that.
Right, right. But a lot of it's mindset, right? A lot of it is, people have adversity in their life. Why me? Whoa, this isn't supposed to happen to me. And they fall apart. The other people accept the fact that it's going to happen. I mean, that's life, right? Yeah. You're not going to. It's not whether you're going to fail, you might fail in business. If you're going to go and become an entrepreneur and you're going to put yourself out there and you're going to try things, you will fail. I don't know what it'll be at. It might be a part of a business, might be at all of a business. You may get taken. Somebody takes advantage of it. Whatever it is, it's going to happen. So if you accept that, it's just a signpost along the way and a learning opportunity. And there's people that recognize that and other people that are afraid to even get out there and they're like, oh, I don't want to fail. Well, what do you mean? You're going to fail. It's not like, okay, good luck. No, you can wish people luck, but they're going to fail.
Yeah. If you don't want to fail, then
don't do it.
Entrepreneur.
Right. Exactly.
Don't take on the project, period.
The accidental entrepreneur. A lot of people end up accidentally. They don't plan on anything. And that's why 80% of them fail. There's no planning. There's no recognition of the whole mindset of, because if you accept, and you do obviously, right. And I do too, that failure is part of the growth experience, then when it happens, it's not such a traumatic experience.
You're expecting
it. It's like, well, right. I would say that about who talks about that? It's like your first time that you do something, right? So you're a young lawyer, you're going to court and you're nervous. You probably wet your pants. You got to go in front of the judge. You don't know the rules. You don't remember everything. You don't want to make the partner look bad, right? You're a wreck. But if you accepted, if you said, I know this is not going to go well, it's my first time that I'm doing this. First of all, it'll probably go better than you think, right? And doesn't that such an impact on you emotionally? Because it's what you expected. So that's the way I try to tell people to live, approach situations, like take the air out of the balloon.
Yeah.
We've all survived. Look at the things you've survived. Holy, excuse me, my French, but yeah, you've been through stuff that I could throw at people and they would shatter in a million pieces.
And that's the thing about adversity. It brings out character.
It definitely does.
It's a chance for you to rise above and show what you're made of. And then that experience will help you hopefully in the future make better decisions and also become more resilient because you're tougher skin and you made it through. I made it through.
It's not your first time. I've been through this. It happens all the time. It didn't knock me down before. Why is it going to knock me down now?
I'm really blessed that our business is essential. And so we haven't skipped a beat. We've been growing. Actually, we've had record. This has been a record breaking year for us.
Right.
With coaches and clients and revenue and everything. And we're doing phenomenal. But I'm, if I were to lose it all, if I were to just end up, something exploded, some unexpected
I guess,
thing happened.
Right.
all I need is a phone.
Right. You'd start over and rebuild it and build it bigger.
I've done it before. I can do it again.
I'm sure there'll be bumps along the way. What you're doing now, you'll have, look, there's people that lost everything during the pandemic, totally not within their control, but some of them are coming back hard, strong, and some of them aren't. And you know, you're right. It's just recognizing where it's going and that it's okay. You can accept the system, not that you don't have control over it. You do. I'm not saying be a passenger in life and just say, well, I don't have any control over it. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if you have that mindset, you know, it's a, what's the word? It's a plentiful mindset. It's a success mindset. It's a, you know, this is just a piece of equipment that didn't work and we'll figure it out next time. And I think that's good. I want to read your book. Definitely. I'm going to look up, can we put, I think in the show notes, like link to Anti-Fragile?
And yeah. Those are great. I highly recommend those books. The Obstacle is the Way, Anti-Fragile, course book, my book Stoked in there. And people want to get a free copy. They can get a free copy just by going to stokedthebook.com.
Okay. Just a electronic copy.
No, they get a soft copy. They just have to pay for shipping.
Okay, great. Is it on Audible? Can I listen to it in the car?
It's on Kindle.
Okay, I can read it. I can't drive and read, so.
No, but you could have it play.
I can't listen to your voice reading me the book?
No.
That'll be the next thing you do.
That's on the list. That's on the list.
Definitely. All right. Well, Greg, I can't thank you enough for spending a whole hour with me talking about this stuff because I'm a big I don't know, philosophical is the right way, but definitely spiritual in terms of what life, you know, comes our way, we got to deal with. And I hope people will read your book. And I'm sure people always connect with me when they hear episodes. Oh, can I meet Greg? So I will connect you with them. And we'll, I wish you luck. I wish you happy, you know, good holidays.
Thank you.
And 2021, a better year than we could put 2020 in the rearview mirror for a lot of people.
I'm ready. I'm doing my goal setting workshop this weekend. That's what Beyond Resilience is. It's the 3-hour goal setting workshop. So I'm excited about that for my own self and for the students that are going to go through it with me.
Good. Well, I appreciate coming on. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure, Mitch.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.